Jobsinkent.com.
SupplyMyBusiness.co.uk. Find suppliers and quote for work locally. Try us free until 1st of May 2016.
Paul Andrews and the Kent Business Bunker on Channel Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Tuesday, October the 27th, with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jackie Brooker.
Hello again, everybody.
You're right. Oh, that is cool, isn't it? I was just so made up by that. That is really good. Cool. Thank you for being with us. We still want to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. We've got two fabulous guests to talk to in the second half of the show, but we'd love to hear from you. You can call us on 01303 874 998. You can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, or you can tweet us at Vanilla Web. And I've got quite a few tweets here. I've got a tweet from the lovely Miss MP Services, the lovely Claire, and she says, "Hi Vanilla Web and the Business Bunker, we're listening from our offices today and really enjoying the show." So thank you for that. Oh, Jill Serkin. No, we won't read that. Don't want to hear from her, do we? Apparently she's in America, apparently.
Depends whether she's still eating her pecan pie.
Yeah. Oh, let's see what she says. "I'm off to Columbia University today." Right, okay. I don't really want to know. I don't care where she's going. She's off to Columbia University. But we've had a tweet from Abamaxa, and they say, "Vanilla Web, can we have a shout-out, please, on the Business Bunker Show for R&B Events 1 and Royal Shopper, Royal underscore Shopper." They're two Twitter handles, so I'll give you them again. Abamaxa are a Benidorm-based company, or Biddenden-based company, that make luxury goods. And they are on the parquet flooring outside the M&S. It says good court, but I think they mean food court, I would say. Just a guess.
I think so.
And by the fact that they've included Royal Shopper Twitter, I imagine that's the Royal Victoria Shopping Centre in Tunbridge Wells, I would guess.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with that.
That sounds good.
So, if you want to meet these guys, you can find them on the floor outside the M&S food court in the Royal Shopper. That's where you can do that. So do check that out. Oh, and they've sent me a lovely picture of some of the goods they make. Looking forward to listening and lots of business tips. And they've shown me some pictures of what looks suspiciously like handmade leather wallets, bags and phone covers. And gorgeous they look too. And I'm going to give that a retweet so that you can see it. But you can follow them on the Twitter, Abamaxa. Let me spell that for you. A-B-A-M-A-X-A. Abamaxa. Do give them a follow. And the lovely folks. Now, I need to mention it. Venom Tech have tweeted and said, "We're listening in as always." Now, I made some disparaging comments about this. Last week, Sarah from Venom Tech, do you know Venom Tech, people? Venom Tech are a company that specialise in snake, spider and other venoms for drug research. And I think it was last week, it may have been the week before, Sarah sent a picture of Steve, the lovely Dr. Steve Trim, who's the owner, who has rather long hair. And she sent me a tweet on air that just said, "Steve has joined the Scientists with the Luxurious Hair Club," and posted a picture, which I then gloriously ripped out the mickey of for about 4 hours. And then I got an email from Sarah saying, "I wasn't joking, he really has joined the Scientists with the Luxurious Hair Club, and there is such a thing." And I went to their website, and she's absolutely right. There's all these big bruising scientists with lovely, tressful, long, flowing locks. So
fabulous.
Dr. Steve Trim is a bona fide member of the Scientists with Luxurious Hair Society.
And how many members do they have?
I have not. Just Steve, I think. I have no idea. But they wouldn't let me join.
I wonder why.
I'm not a scientist.
Of course.
But anyway, it was good to hear from the lovely folks over at Venom Tech. And they say they're listening, as always, to the Business Bunker Show and all the latest on Kent Business Scene and Kent Business News. And they do a fabulous job. I did see a post that Venom Tech put up on Facebook last night about a particular snake venom that they're looking at. And apparently it stops you bleeding within 6 seconds.
Gosh, that's incredible.
Yeah, I think you die, but...
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah. No, it stops bleeding within 6 seconds. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fantastic
stuff.
Great work
they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. We've also had a tweet from a new listener, which is Fannet Leaflets. And it says, good afternoon, Paul, and everyone on the Business Bunker. We are Fannet Leaflets. We are a GPS track leaflet distribution service covering the Fannet towns. Mm-hmm. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Fannet Leaflets. That's not easy to say, actually. Fannet Leaflets.
No.
No.
Well, I'm a true Thanet girl.
Oh, are you?
Yes, I am.
You're from Planet Thanet?
I'm from Planet Thanet, so if you say it properly, you should say it with an F.
Thanet.
Thanet. Where about? My mum and dad always used to correct me.
And whereabouts in Thanet are you from?
A little village called Acol, which was...
I beg your pardon. There was no need for that. I only asked. What can you do? You ask a simple question and they're just rude to you.
Yeah, so it was a little village, but it's not now. It's near Manston. Mm. So, and I think it's developed incredibly over the years.
Right.
So I probably wouldn't recognise it now if I went back. So, yeah.
So you don't go back too often then?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No.
Cool. And Chris Pollard, Chris Connect IT, have a great show. Have fun, Jackie, and don't allow Vanilla Web to keep ranting.
Oh,
there you go.
Thank you, Chris. I'm trying my best.
Right. We've got 141 more tweets, so I'm not going to read them all now. We'll do them in a minute. I'll tell you what, do you want to go with an email?
I certainly can. So we have an email from Linda Garcia.
Oh, Linda.
Yes, who I only met the other day. Absolutely lovely lady.
Oh, sorry to interrupt. I have just come across a tweet. Thank you, Russell. Of me in a tutu, thank you. And it's probably the most unflattering of all the unflattering pictures of me. God, do carry on, sorry.
Linda, I think you would agree that had to trump your email. So, anyway, Linda Garcia, she would just like a shout out for two events that she's got coming up. She is going to be presenting and holding some workshops in November and December. So the first one is on the 11th of November from 8 to 9:30, and it's the KICC Breakfast Networking at the Thistle Brands Hatch Hotel in Longfield. And she's going to be the keynote speaker talking about the taboo about productivity. And then on the 9th of December, again, she's doing another KICC breakfast networking at the Coniston Hotel, this time in Sittingbourne. And again, she will be talking about the taboo about productivity. So if you don't manage to make the first one, you can always go along to the one on the 9th of December. You can find out more details and her website, which is www.aluxi.com. Which is ALLUXI.co.uk.
Cool. Thank you for that. Jules is in full flow now. And every single tweet ends with the phrase, y'all, you-all, y'all. Anybody would think she was in the South? Yeah. Anyway, she says, got a bit confused. Your clocks went back, didn't they, y'all? Yeah, they did. And she said, I'm just up and waiting for me oatmeal and grits for breakfast. Oh, for goodness sake.
She's embracing the culture out there.
She's gluten intolerant. She is not eating oatmeal and grits. I can tell you that without any shadow of a doubt. What she will be eating is gluten-free pancakes, waffles, link sausages, bacon, scrambled egg. And that's just a snack while she's waiting for breakfast.
Yeah. Wow, that sounds having like
consumed
my kind of lady.
A bottle of Prosecco, because she has been up half an hour. Oh, dear. Anyway, so thank you, Jules. Thank you for listening in, and enjoy your day at Columbia University. Thank you, Russell, for posting another picture of me in a pink tutu, and we've had a tweet from Metis Women. Who I guess I did offer to come along to one of their events, didn't I?
In you did.
Said uniform. And they have said, you can come, Paul, if you're wearing the tutu, but a tutu will have to be in blue and orange because that's our corporate colours. As if I have a wardrobe of alternatively coloured tutus that I'm actually going to wear. Yeah, I'm not.
Well, you never know.
Absolutely. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to talk to one of our guests that have sat here patiently listening to this nonsense for an hour and a bit, and it will be lovely to hear from them. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show Mr. Rob Coles of Southeast Packaging. Rob, thank you so much for joining us. Great to see you. Why don't you tell the listener, and there is only one, why don't you tell the listener all about you and Southeast Packaging?
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
It's an absolute pleasure, mate.
Southeast Packaging is a relatively new company. I've been in the industry for around about 30 years supplying.
He doesn't look old enough, does he? He doesn't look old enough, no.
Packaging to to all all different types of businesses. I set up this company just to be more local and to have a more hands-on feel to our customers.
So, remind me again, how long have you been going with your own business?
This business has been going for around about 3 months.
Okay, so it's fairly new.
Yes, yeah.
Good stuff. We love new businesses in Kent and we love supporting new businesses. And where are you actually based?
I'm based in Canterbury.
Right.
Most of my customers are in Kent and South East.
Right.
Hence the name. I think, because I've worked in this industry for so long, worked for some big companies, I think it's lost some of the personal values of servicing clients and getting their real needs. People are selling what they want to sell rather than what people want to buy.
Okay. I've seen some interesting stuff on your website made out of cardboard and what have you, which looked really cool. Just give us a feel for exactly where you fit into the marketplace and what you actually do. So if I came to you and said, right, I want to do something with you, Rob, you go, that's okay if you're doing X, Y, or Z. So what is it that you actually, what is your part of the market doing?
I supply items from stock, so anything from a brown box. I like to go the bespoke route just to enhance people's brand.
Right.
I want to make their product look to its optimum. People buy with their eyes.
Yeah.
So the better their product looks, the more sales hopefully they generate.
So you're providing packaging?
Yes.
So you don't deliver the packages or anything like that?
No, I am supplying the whole thing. I go in, I'll get a customer brief, design and supply from there.
Okay, so I come along and I go, right, I've got these things I want put in a box, and I want the box to be 6 inches by 4 inches. You design it for me?
Yes, I would design it for you or look at your current range to see how it fits. If it works as it is and you're happy with that, then I'll give you a comparison price and we'll see if we can save you money that way.
Right.
See if I can hold stock for you to free up some of your space.
Right, okay.
Hopefully save you money somewhere along the line and enhance your brand. I really would like to just get across the fact that people buy with their eyes. If you're lucky enough to own an Apple brand product, for example, their packaging looks so fantastic. It makes the brand feel so much better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree with you. It's really interesting as well, because I saw a report yesterday that some of the major supermarket chains are thinking about taking the hit on carrier bags.
Yeah.
Because they find it so useful to have branded carrier bags that for 5p a bag, they're thinking about incorporating it into their prices and not charging anymore, but paying the fee themselves. Which kind of makes sense, because a lot of us do deliberate things like going to Tesco's with a Sainsbury's bag and stuff like that, just to be a nuisance, because I'm juvenile like that. And they're already finding that, as you quite rightly point out, Rob, that this eyeball thing is really, really important.
For the same price as a plain box, it normally has to train, go through the same machine as if it was printed anyway. So.
Right.
To put a bit of print on a box is not that expensive. And I would just like to give comparison prices to those people out there that are currently buying packaging, so we can see if we can save them some money.
Right. So, just to delve a bit deeper into what you do and how you do it kind of thing, get your secrets out of you. Presumably you don't manufacture the boxes and packaging?
No, I've got a vast knowledge of suppliers all around the UK.
So you're sourcing it mostly from the UK?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And straight from manufacturers, presumably?
Yes, yeah. The trouble is, if you deal with a manufacturer will always sell you the product that they can manufacture through their plant. It might not be the cheapest way, it might not be the best way,
right,
but that's what they would do. By opening up the market, I know who's good at big boxes, small boxes.
So a bit like Russell, really.
Exactly.
You know who to go to that does, you know, fancy boxes, and who to go to that does, you know, cheap waterproof boxes. Oh, I've just made that up. Do you know what
there
I mean?
Is such,
you know,
a thing, yes.
Oh, is it really?
Yes, yeah.
I thought there might be. I spotted a gap in the market, you see. That's being an entrepreneur. Waterproof boxes. Hey, what's not to like? unbelievable. You can get anything these days, can't you? But you kind of know the manufacturers to go to for the right kind of products. Is that
certainly
what you're saying?
Yes.
Martin?
I was just going to say that Rob and I have a mutual friend, and I think you know Sharon as well, Sharon Goodyear from Bar 15.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know Rob has worked very closely with Sharon to actually understand her specific packaging requirements for what is a snack bar that's sold through health food shops, and how she can actually reduce her packaging costs, but at the same time improve her brand identity as well. So I think, you know, Rob's expertise at that level obviously goes way beyond, you know, I need an envelope, you know, or a jiffy bag to send something out in.
Right. Oh. Just beyond the jiffy bag. I like jiffy bags. I've got to ask now, because I started this, haven't I? Right. What on earth's a waterproof box then?
Well, what do you think fish is supplied in, for example?
Fish?
Yeah, it would need to
live
be waterproof.
Ones. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so, like polystyrene boxes and stuff like that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I was completely off on the wrong track. I'm thinking of, you know, cardboard boxes or whatever, you, or jiffy bags. Goldfish in a jiffy bag, that ain't going to work, is it?
So you do things like milk cartons and UHT cartons,
certainly.
That
right,
type of stuff. That's waterproof.
Yeah, it is. No, I'm just not thinking.
I'm not
thinking at all. You're absolutely right. I had one fixed idea in my head. That was the problem. And that's, you know, where we fell, isn't it? Because I was just thinking about cardboard boxes. Because I was thinking about what I said about your website and the things you were making out of cardboard and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I get that. No, that's cool. So you can source a whole range of products. So let's explore that a little bit in terms of the kinds of materials for packaging that you can source.
Virtually everything. At the moment, I'm supplying polythene products. Mailing bags. Mainly cartons, all different types, solid board or corrugated.
Right.
But it's really about enhancing your brand and getting your name out there. My overheads are very, very little as opposed to some of the big boys out there.
Right.
I'm very, very local. I'm about as and when you need me.
Right.
I'm not into hard sell. I just will give you my price and you make up your own mind.
Sure. And of course, a lot of the value add to this is the design, I guess, that you put on the packaging.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Or just and hopefully that will come back in enhanced sales.
Yeah.
Through my clients, and as their business grows, then my business will grow with them.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's really cool. You're based in Canterbury. You've been going 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're really rooting for you. We love new businesses in Kent, especially people that are doing different things. Coming up to Christmas, it's package season, I guess.
Yes.
Do you have a fairly seasonal business? Does it get much, much busier at Christmas?
As it gets closer to Christmas, manufacture lead times go out.
Yeah.
And it is very, very busy. But it's virtually all year round.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, it's good.
Cool. Give us a shout for your website.
It's www.southeastpackaging.co.uk.
Cool. Rob, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, Martin.
Thank you.
I was just thinking, in the spirit of collaboration, we ought to put Rob in touch with Samantha Anderson at Order Fulfillment Experts as well.
Absolutely.
Particularly this time of year.
Absolutely. We've got a phone call. Let me just take that. Oh, no, it's gone. Whoever that was, if you want to call back, I don't know why that went away. It may have been me that cut you off. I don't think so, but you never know. Hold on, let me just check the phone. Hold on.
I'm glad I'm not in charge of the technology.
I'd like to hear now from our next guest, Mr. Bjorn Haynes. Bjorn, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. I'll tell you what, we got a call again. Let me try and take this call first. Let's just have a go at this. Hello.
Hello. it's me again. I've got waylaid. You seem to be in the middle of an interview. Should I call back?
No, you can go for it now, mate. Now's the best time to do it. I just cut you off as well, didn't I?
No, you didn't. I just thought it wasn't the right time listening to the show.
Oh, I see. You hung up. Hey, Pete, it's lovely to hear from you. How you doing, mate?
Yes, fine. And you?
Yeah, not too bad at all. Not too bad at all. So what are you up to?
Well, it's not exactly business, but on Saturday I can't fail to mention that I'm performing with a rock legend up in London, at London's Borderline in the evening. We're doing an event in the afternoon for in Richard Branson's Virgin Lounge.
Are you indeed? You little name dropper, you.
I detest people who drop names.
Yeah, me too. I was saying to Bowie the other day, I said, these people, they come along. And so, come on, which rock god are you with this week, Pete?
It's Bernie Tall, mate, Ozzy Osbourne's.
Oh, right, okay. Ozzy.
And also Ian Gillan. So he's letting me play on stage with him.
Blimey.
Yeah, he must have had a lot to drink when he decided to do that.
I find these rock gods mellow when they get older, though.
They are, yeah. Once they're over about 30, they're a lot better, I found. And Bernie is over 30.
Absolutely. So when's this taking place, Peter?
Well, we've got a free event in the afternoon in the Virgin Lounge in London, the Haymarket. People have to sign up for it if they want to come because the places are limited. Right. They get a free glass of wine or two, and they get to listen to me interviewing the rock god.
Right.
And he might shred a bit of guitar. So that's they just get in touch with me at Academy of Rock on Google. You probably find it easily on Google. If they want a ticket, a free ticket, come there. But hopefully they will then come along to the show in the evening at London's Borderline, Tottenham Court Road. That's a mere £13 for a fantastic evening. It's not my tickets, otherwise I'd give them away.
Right.
But the Virgin Lounge will be good, and it's really nice up there, actually. And I don't know if Richard's showing up, but you never know, do you, with him?
No, absolutely. He could pop in, or maybe not.
I mean, I know you've been dropping in to entrepreneurial gigs recently. I mean, you detest name dropping as well, but I mean, I think you've been around Henley Business School and other places, haven't you, recently?
I have indeed, yeah. But I don't want to talk about it.
Peter,
that's fantastic news, and we love what you do, and we love the things that you do, not just on the music scene, but in a business scene as well. As it happens, there is a link to the Academy of Rock on the Kent Business Radio website. If you go into our community page, there's a link to Pete's website there, and just your Academy of Rock and your Human Dynamics website as well, if you've still got that going.
Either of them will do.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter which one they go to, but if they need just to put their name on the list, because the Virgin Lounge can only cope with so many rock fans in an afternoon.
Fantastic. Mate, thank you so much for telling us about that. It's a pleasure to hear from you, as always. Keep on rocking, and we will talk to you again soon.
Make sure that when you get the invite for the Queen, don't mention it.
Okay, I'm not. I've been keeping it a secret, yeah.
Cheers, then.
Yeah. Peter, thank you so much for talking to us. It's been a pleasure to hear from you. Have a great afternoon, and break a leg.
Will do.
Cheers, mate. Bye. Peter Cook there from the Academy of Rock. I'm playing a gig soon at the Virgin Lounge. Blimey, it all happens. Pete used to play with, you lot are all too young for this, he used to play with a guy called John Utway as well. Are you familiar with John Utway? His biggest hit was a song called Headbutt.
Sorry, that was...
Yeah.
Headbutt.
Headbutt. Really? He was a punk.
Okay.
Yeah.
What band was he with?
John Otway, it was a John Otway band. Oh, right. Yeah, very big in the 70s. And if I played you Headbutt, you'd know it straight away, because it's got massive lyrics that 10 minutes ago, Headbutt, basically. anyway, let's come back to Bjorn Haynes of Grid Renewables. Bjorn, thank you so much for joining us. You've been incredibly patient, mate. You've been sat there waiting for your turn, and we've been messing about and all kinds of things. Thank you so much for joining us on The Bunker Show.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me on the show. Appreciate it. And it's a good opportunity for us to showcase the business. So thank you.
Absolute pleasure. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you, Bjorn, and a little bit about Grid?
Okay. I am from Rochester. I've been working in...
You sound like it. You sound like you're from Rochester.
That's, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of them Chatham Chavvy accents you got there.
Yeah, just the one. No, myself, the accent, yeah, it's a little bit twisted, but just a family background of New York, so I have a bit of a...
You must have met Jules then. She hangs out in New York all of the... Sorry, no, go carry on.
Oh, that's fine. They probably call her English just the same as they do me when I go over there. That's the way it is. But Grid Renewable Energy Solutions, it's a very new company. We started in May this year. Quite happily for me, was incorporated on my 35th birthday, which is pretty good. You know, I'm happy
He doesn't look that old, does he? No, he doesn't.
I know, I'm pretty and youthful. It's wonderful. Thank you. But,
So is it your business, Bjorn?
Yes, it is mine. I actually do have a business partner as well. That's a lot of the area where we get a lot of strength for the business. Right. It's from a reputable air conditioning company, AAC of Ashford.
So. Right, okay. Yes, I know AAC, yeah.
Right, okay. So my business partner is one of the partners on AAC.
Okay.
And he's then working with me on Grid Renewable Energy Solutions.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Something that's developed as a result of a lot of renewable energy solution requirements going through air conditioning, simply because the guys that do that are the ones with the expertise, so much so to move on to better systems and more technically involved systems.
Okay.
They have the accreditations and so on. So.
Brilliant. Let's explore this a little bit in terms of, you know, we're talking about renewables. When we talk about that, I think of things like windmills and stuff like that. So give us a bit more background into what Grid actually do in terms of renewables and how it physically kind of works and what it's about.
Okay, generally what we do, it's a very, very simple process as such. We'll visit your domestic premises or commercial premises.
So you do domestic and commercial?
We do domestic and commercial.
Okay.
Generally SMEs, we can look at getting a little bit larger, but the bigger you go, the more expense there is. So naturally we try to keep ourselves smaller at the moment in order for us to be able to make baby steps in terms of our growth.
Right.
So we'll visit your premises and we'll take a look at what infrastructure you currently have in place for providing your services. So your heating, domestic hot water, electricity, things like that. And in terms of visiting your infrastructure, understanding what is there, where your costs currently are high, and what can potentially be done to reduce those costs.
Right, okay.
When we have a look at those things, we'll discuss the potential options with you for changing systems or incorporating with systems, hybridization, general takeovers, removals of equipment and replacement with better technology types, looking specifically at coefficients of performance, so getting a better performance level of the equipment than that you currently have from your fossil fuels.
Yeah.
In your normal usage, your electricity, your gas, oil, those type of things. And we will recommend via a report detailing a full background scope, what systems you have, what your general requirements are, and our recommendations, along with a full quotation, pricing, procurement, backing, warranties, servicing, maintenance, and everything to go with it. So we don't leave you alone. You know, we won't just install and run away and hope for the best. We'll follow you through right from the beginning all the way through to the end and service contracts.
Cool. It's interesting, isn't it? It's not a business I know anything about, but one thing that I have more experience of are cars and car engines.
Yes.
And I think it's a similar kind of syndrome that with the emphasis on renewables and things like that, the car industry in the last decade or so has made an awful lot of inroads into making things more efficient. You know, so cars burn less petrol, they're more emission efficient, unless they're Germans, of course. But we won't talk about that. You know, so the technology has changed drastically to make it more efficient. And what I'm assuming is, by what you've said, Bjorn, is that the same can be said with things like boilers and lighting and heating and water and gas systems. You know, you may have a boiler that you've had for 100 years. You could replace that with something that, you know, uses a fraction of the power or a fraction of the resources
Of course.
In a different way. Is that kind of the message that you're...
Most definitely. Yeah. What you generally get is a one-to-one trade-off of your incoming fossil fuel versus what you output in terms of your usable energy. So your heat or whatever. So what you have by ways of these coefficients of performance is what is termed as a multiplier.
Correct.
So you have a certain amount coming in, and a multiplication of that amount going out.
Right.
So when you look at, say, a general air source heat pump, you may say that you've got a 400% multiplier, that being a 4 points on a coefficient of performance. So 1 kilowatt coming in, 4 kilowatts going out. They do vary, but systems are very much around that, and they look at being able to increase the performance level, reducing your fuel costs.
Absolutely. A couple of years ago, I'm being all pretentious here, Pete's got me onto this name-dropping and pretentious lark earlier. I've got an outdoor swimming pool at my place, okay? And when I first moved into my house, I inherited a gas boiler, but it was a propane gas boiler. Yeah, because it's outside. Yeah, exactly. I just seen the look on your face. Yeah, exactly. To start that up and heat my pool took 460 kilogram bottles. Now, if I tell you they were 120 quid each and they lasted a week.
Yeah, you don't want to swim a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I swam in the cold. I replaced that boiler with a heat exchanger.
Yes.
And there's just no comparison at all with a modern heat exchanger. It takes half an hour to heat my pool. It uses about one cycle, I don't know what the technical stuff is, of electricity, and it's game over. And the interesting thing is you get a little snowstorm with it as well, because the way that it works, it's like a reverse fridge, so it sucks in cold air and warms it up, but it means you get this little kind of frost particles on the top, which
exactly
are quite cool.
Exactly that, yeah.
So basically what you're telling me is you're kind of looking at those kind of things across a range of different domestic and commercial activities.
That's right. Those are the kind of technologies that we look at. We have a vast amount of suppliers that we look at, and they're constantly coming to us with new technology types.
Right.
So we're regularly visiting all of the general manufacturers, the high-level manufacturers. There are a lot of manufacturers out there. And, you know, we're very, very strict about the types of manufacturers that we look at, so much so that in order to keep costs down, we don't substitute that with low-standard equipment that's going to constantly need you to look at servicing all the time, and we're constantly out there, and then you're constantly putting it up on Twitter that we're rubbish.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Marcin.
I was just going to say, where I live, in Thanet, there's been a sort of huge rise in the number of solar farms that are being built. I mean, they're everywhere now. And I know, Bjorn, you do the latest generation photovoltaic panels as well. So, I mean, that technology's moved on, I guess.
It has moved on quite a lot. There are multiple types of photovoltaic generation medias. So the types of panels that you get, a common thing that people will say, well, you know, I've got black panels and not the old blue ones. Well, that is a positive thing. There's a costing associated with those, but they're constantly moving, and the types of materials that are being used are constantly changing. They're condensing in size and so on. So there's... It is a constantly moving thing.
It's a very innovative marketplace at the moment, isn't it? Because, as you quite rightly say, things are changing drastically as new technology comes down the line. And I guess we also get experience of technology. You know, it's only in the last 20 or 30 years that we've had, you know, wind, renewable and solar energy of any kind at all, really.
Yeah.
So we're learning via experience what lasts, what does, you know, what happens, you know, and you go through various cycles, I guess, where you think, well, I can improve this. Having watched how it performed over the last 10 years, we can improve the manufacturing of this, or we can improve the output of it and stuff like that.
Of course, yeah. There's a lot of things that happen by ways of battery storage on solar systems where people were previously generating during the day, they're not home. Well, it's gone at the end of the day unless you have battery storage. So you then keep that amount that you've gained. And you can use that whenever you feel like, or divert it to higher draw equipment like washing machines and ovens, things like that. So there's a lot of movement in those directions.
And I'm assuming that, I mean, we've signed up to something called the Kyoto Agreement. And I'm assuming that, you know, we have, as part of that, committed to reducing our carbon emissions as a country. So presumably the government must be putting some finance behind this in terms of grants to help businesses to actually become more green. Is that right or not?
In actuality, it's changed very much. The government was backing it quite heavily to start with. However, they are now making more and more reductions. I guess it was a case of they put forward a certain amount of funding, and that funding is running out with the amount of people that are putting things in place at the moment. So you find things like the renewable heat incentive reducing, the feed-in tariffs are reducing. So people who were looking at putting these systems in place and seeing a benefit out of it in terms of something coming back to them, a lot of the time people talking about payback periods, well, now it's going in the direction that's not so much focused on payback periods anymore. You're looking more about a case of, well, you change something in order to get an immediate monetary gain and an immediate reduction in your bills. So try not to focus on the payback that you're going to get out of this thing, putting money back in your pocket every month. What you're getting back out of it is less bill. Mm. You know, you're spending less on your outgoings simply because you've got this in place. Mm. If it was a car, you wouldn't think about it the same way. You just think, well, it cost me less at the pump, so great.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's really cool. Or warm, depending on which way you look at it. Absolutely. Bjorn, give us a shout out for how we can find out more about you and what you do. Give us your website, your Twitter handle, Facebook page, or whatever way you want the listeners out there to find out more about you and to contact you.
All right. Well, we are available on all the media right now. You can find us on www.grid-res.co.uk. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Google+ as Grid Renewable Energy Solutions Limited. And our Twitter handle is @grid_RES.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that. There is a link to your website on the Kent Business Radio website that will stay up there for the foreseeable future, so you can find out about Bjorn and his business there. For the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Thank
Absolute
you,
pleasure to hear from you. And we wish you much success. Oh, the one other thing I didn't ask you is how long you've been going as a business.
We've been going since May this year.
So another new startup to Kent. Fantastic.
That's right.
All power to you. Well done, guys. Both Rob and Bjorn for starting new businesses in Kent. We love that. Love that more than anything else. And we wish you much and continued success with both of your businesses.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've had a few tweets trying to catch up on something. Venom Tech have tweeted, Stephen is here. Thank you very much for the shout out. If you remember, I was talking about Steve belonging to the scientist with luxurious hair. And Pete, who joined us on the phone just now, has posted a link to Headbutts, the YouTube video of the performance. So if you look at Academy of Rock Twitter handle or Vanilla Web's Twitter handle, there is now a YouTube performance of Headbutt on there for your perusal. And he's also sent me a tweet that just says, outdoor swimming pool, ? Yeah, I didn't say I'm using it now, did I? I use it in the summer. So there you go. Congratulations, big congratulations to Mandy Brooke of Recruitment Southeast. Mandy won Sussex Businesswoman of the Year 2015 at an awards ceremony last Friday. So massive well done to her. She also, as it happened, completely unrelated, appeared on the Sunday Politics Show this Sunday on the BBC, where she was talking about skill shortages in the workplace. And it was a fabulous interview. And I concur totally with everything she was saying, so she must be right. So a massive well done to Mandy and her team. And I know she'd always recognise her team as well for giving her the support that she wants. So you can find out about her organisation, which is Recruitment Southeast Group. Their website is www.rsegroup.agency. So do check them out. You got an email to read there, Jackie?
I certainly have. I've got one about Spitfire Networking.
Right.
On the first Thursday of every month at Kings Hill Golf Club. The next meeting is on the 5th of November. It only costs your time and a £10 contribution to spend a couple of hours networking with the business movers and shakers from all over Kent. So make the connections that help your business grow. Coffee and tea are included together with a light buffet, and you can register and pay online at spitfirenetworking.com. That's all one word, spitfirenetworking.com.
Fantastic. It's that part of the show now where...
Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.
Channel Radio. Radio News Update.
It's that part of the show where we now concentrate on the Federation of Small Business News Update. There's a pension and auto-enrolment roadshow going on in Dover on Tuesday the 24th of November between 9:30 and 10:30. And it's at the Best Western Plus Dover Marina Hotel and Spa on the waterfront there, CT179BP. There's also a Federation of Small Business Skills 30-30 event taking place on Thursday the 3rd of December between 12:30 and 3:30. And that's taking place at the Longfield Academy, Main Road, Longfield in Kent. That's over near Dartford. There's 30 businesses and 30 students will be thrown together at the first FSB Skills 30-30 event. If you are looking to recruit, or if you care about your next employee, or you have any interest in developing the future workforce, then this is an event for you to come to. You can find out about all the things that we're telling you about here by going to Kent Business Radio website and clicking on the FSB link, or you can go directly to the FSB website, find the region, which is Kent and Medway, and all the events are listed there. Or you can go, and this is the easiest way, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB events, and everything is listed on a blog page there. Jackie.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. So there's an FSB networking event on the Tuesday the 10th of November, which is 6 o'clock till 7:30 in the evening, not the morning, I hasten to add, at the Hilton Maidstone Hotel, Bearsted Road. The FSB News are saying register your support for the Dover Western Docks Revival. What is the Dover Western Docks Revival, or DWDR, as it's better referred to?
I'm glad you asked.
It's the regeneration of the Western Docks, including the former Hoffa Port.
Right, okay.
So it's a new cargo terminal and distribution centre, much better leisure and recreational facilities, a new marina, and I can never say this word, piazza?
Piazza. Yeah. Yeah. No, I can't say it either. No.
Thank you.
That's all right.
With opportunities for shops, bars, cafes and restaurants. Quality jobs, nurturing local skills to match them, and the best opportunity to deliver local jobs for local people.
Fantastic.
So you can find more information at www.deliverfordover.co.uk.
Oh, I like that. Deliver for Dover.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's good.
Right, I want to tell you about this. I've caused some confusion over this, and it is entirely my fault, because I've been tweeting this out with a banner, and it's about Small Business Saturday. So let me try and clear this up now. Small Business Saturday takes place on Saturday the 5th of December, but there's a whole heap of workshops in November planning Small Business Saturday, and that's what I've been trying to tell people about, and people keep replying back to me going, I'm already doing something on Saturday the 5th of December, but the workshops aren't on the 5th of December. Small Business Saturday is the 5th of December. What we've got are the following workshops, and this is what this is all about. The FSB Kent and Medway are holding a series of free networking meetings around the county to tell you, small independent businesses, how you can benefit by joining in the fun in our campaign supporting Small Business Saturday. Are you with me so far? Okay. There's no cost in either attending or joining in what we're going to do. It's everything's completely free. We're just trying to build some traction around Small Business Saturday and to get small businesses around Kent and Medway to join in with it and to make some leeway out of it. To find out what you need to do to get involved, you need to go to one of the networking meetings, which are also free. And here's where they are. There's one at the Medway Innovation Centre, and that's taking place on Wednesday the 11th of November between 5:30 and 6:30 in the evening, and that's been hosted by Zoe Cairns. So that's at the Medway Innovation Centre, Wednesday the 11th of November. There's a Canterbury and East Kent one that's taking place at Fruitworks. That's at 77 Stour Street in Canterbury, and that's on Thursday the 12th of November, and that is hosted by me. There's a South Kent event at Western Hanger Castle, which is a Higher Than Folkestone event, and that's in Stone Street, Western Hanger, and that's on Monday the 9th of November between 6 and 7:30, and that's hosted by the lovely Sarah Paul. There's also going to be one in Maidstone on Tuesday the 10th of November between 6 and 7.30, and that's at the Hilton Maidstone Hotel, Bearsted Road, and that is hosted by Ivan White. You can find out all of those details, and you can book your free ticket if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/blogs and look for Small Business Saturday. There's a blog all about it, and it's got all the details on there and all the links to the booking page.
Excellent.
Cool.
So, something else at Western Hanger Castle called Sparkle at the Castle.
Blimey.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, they're going to polish the furniture.
No? No, I think it's about being dressing up young business women.
Sparkle
at the Castle is an exciting new event where you can network with other like-minded young business women and meet our inspiring network of business mentors over lunch, who could provide top tips for your future. You will also have the chance to grow and develop your own skills through a number of fun and informative workshops. So that's Wednesday the 4th of November between 9:30 and 2. And you can find more information on Eventbrite. It's a very long address, so that will be on the website.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Brilliant. There's a business and education survey. Business people and education leaders make under 16 work experience a national priority. This is a campaign that the FSB have started. A huge majority of business, school and college leaders want ministers to recognise the importance of pre-16 work experience. Yeah. According to a new survey that was published by the British Chamber of Commerce, the survey of over 3,500 bosses and education leaders found that 82% of business respondents and 73% of respondents from schools, colleges and universities believe that secondary schools should offer work experience for pupils under the age of 16. Work experience is not offered universally across the UK, and in England in particular, it has been deprioritised. That is just damn stupid. Mm-hmm. However, the survey found that 79% of employers think work experience is the most important activity to equip young people with workplace skills, followed by part-time work at 69% and by volunteer work at 55%. And while the majority of businesses offer some form of work experience, a third of businesses offer no work experience of any kind, and micro and small businesses in particular need to offer greater support to this. So they're starting a lobbying campaign to ask the government to bring back compulsory work experience for under 16s as part of the curriculum. Who on earth thought of stopping it? I have no idea, but they blimey.
And I really hope that what they're doing as well is lobbying the government to make it easier for businesses to take people as well, because that's why a lot of businesses stopped.
Absolutely. One of the things that you need to know is that the UK is now the world's second biggest entrepreneurial nation in terms of startup businesses. We have 5.6 million businesses in the United Kingdom. That is growing at a phenomenal rate. They have generated 95% of all new jobs over the last 2 years, creating 1.3 million new jobs in this country. They've done that as small businesses. And a lot of those small businesses work from home and are micro businesses. Yeah. And you are prevented from taking on apprentices or work experience if you work from home. I think there's a bit of a problem there. You need to sort that out, guys.
Absolutely.
Yep. Have you got any more FSB news?
One more, which is employment law breakfast seminars that are being held by Girlings. And these are in Ashford on Thursday, the 12th of November. They're all between 8 and 9.30 in the morning. There's one in Canterbury on Tuesday, the 17th of November, and one in Sandwich on Thursday, the 19th of November. And they're free breakfast seminars for HR professionals, managers and business owners, and it's delivered by Girlings Employment Force Specialists, Carl Vincent, David Morgan and Louise Purcell.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. We've had loads of tweets from Jules now. She's awake, had a intake of protein, and is now up and boxing, right? And she was obviously listening to the show because she was listening to Pete and name dropping, and she's having a bit of a go at me, so we'll ignore that. But she has said, did I mention that I'm in America? She said, I'm here because I needed a break from old snake hips, you all. That'll be me then, yeah. So there you go. So thank you for that, Jules. And Pete thinks my swimming pool's lush.
Has Jules sent any more pictures in of her toenails?
Not that I've opened, no. I'm trying studiously to avoid. I don't mind, you know, she does the most outrageous thing. She forgets the time difference. Last year, Saturday night, Sunday morning, 4 a.m, right, my phone rings. Hello. You can tell what state she was in. Hello. What? Where are you? I'm in Marbella. What, in Spain? Yeah. What are you doing there, Jules? It's 4 a.m. Yeah, no, I'm in a nightclub. Why are you ringing me on a Sunday morning at 4 a.m? Well, I'm just about to do the karaoke and I don't know what to sing, so I thought I'd ring you and ask for a recommendation. Really?
That's true. Really? Friendship.
Yeah. No, that's insanity. Cool.
Oh, brilliant.
I want to tell you about this because this is interesting, okay? 14 years ago, we embarked on a journey to transform people's opinion about English wine. It's been a mission, but now English wine is no longer the butt of jokes. It's served in some of the best restaurants in the world. It wins serious international accolades and, of course, sits along grand marks of champagne at premium prices in major supermarkets. In building the Chapel Down wine business, we've not only won a hatful of awards, lots of friends and great customers, but also built a solid business with terrific people and an exciting future. And I don't know if you know that Chapel Down Wines actually hold the record at the moment for the biggest crowdfunding raise in the UK.
Wow.
They raised £3.1 million in a week.
Oh my goodness, that's incredible.
To expand their business. And now we see a lot of parallels with lager. Yes, lager. The world's favourite beer has been reduced to a sad, fizzy, yellow liquid. A testament to big brewer blandness, where market research wins over passion and corporate cardboard trumps taste. Where the only thing that changes seems to be the advertising, and where it's big news if the logo font is up to point. We intend to do something about that. They have launched Curious Brew, and they have another fundraising campaign to raise £1 million to launch their new lager. You can check out our new fundraising campaign for Curious Beers and Cider, and it's at Cedars, Cedars.com/Curious Brew. So that's Cedars, that's the seed funding website, Cedars.com/Curious Brew. Do check it out. There are some fabulous rewards. You also get equity in the company, I might add, because it's a fully listed company. So as well as owning some shares in your own winery and brewery, you also get loads of other goodies, depending on how much money you put in. And that's from Fraser Thompson and the team at English Wines at Chapel Down in my hometown of Tenterton. It's a fabulous place. There are loads of rewards for investing. You can invest small amounts of money. You don't have to put the whole £1 million in, but I'm sure they'd like it if you did. So do support them, because it's a fantastic operation. And we wish Fraser and the team much, much luck with that.
Excellent.
You got one more email that we can read, and then we're kind of wrapping up, I think.
Absolutely. So I have got the curry and beer reminder.
Right.
So that's for an event happening on the 29th of October from 6:30 p.m. onwards at the Raj Moni in Bromley. Always enjoyable, informal and relaxed way of networking. Small cost of £20 payable. So, could go along to that. Have I got one more? Well, I've got two more. Have I got quick time?
You do quick ones.
Quick ones. So, the Get Social in Kent.
Oh, yeah.
So, on Thursday, the 29th of October at Canterbury College, New Dover Road. Free to attend. And it's a whole day event. So, 9 to 3:30. Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce and Zoe Cairns Social Media bring together a day packed full of social media content, expert advice, tips and strategies for you to take and use straight away in your business. And it's going to be the biggest social media event ever. So get along to that.
Brilliant.
Kent.
Thank you. There's a workshop, Be the Boss, Don't Let the Data Rule You. Examining the calculator trait, which is one of the University of Kent Business School's 10 identified business success traits. And it's taking place on the 7th of December at the University of Kent Business School on the Canterbury campus. You can find out about it. I've got a load of details, and I did read this out last week. There's also a blog about it on the Kent Business Radio website, so do have a look for that. It's called The Calculator, and it's the calculator workshop, and it's on the blog site. You can find out about it. If you want to book a place on the workshop, if you email finance@big-associates.com. That's big-associates.com. And in fact, Hamish Clifton, who is part of that, will be on the show next week talking more about it. But really, we're coming to the end of the show. I want to say a massive, massive thank you to all of our guests, the lovely Mr. Russell Burton Lawrence of the Barrister Broker, Mr. Martin White of Supply My Business, Rob Coles of Southeast Packaging, Bjorn Haynes of Grid
Renewables.
Thank you. Yeah, Grid Renewables. A massive, massive thank you to today's show sponsor, RAP Office Contracts, and to the lovely Chokey, Jackie Brooker, who has done womanfully to get her way through all of this with a poor throat. And thank you so much for doing that.
You're absolutely welcome. And I'm ending with a tear in my eye.
Oh, it's always sad at the end of a programme. Coming up on Channel Radio, we have the following.
Hey, this is Jamie from the New Potato Show. Join me live every Tuesday from 7 until 9 p.m. on channelradio.co.uk. We'll be exploring the best in new music from around the world, having 18 tracks and 2 hot potatoes for your listening pleasure. Tune in. Dig up.
New Potatoes with Jamie Andrews on Channel Radio.
And that is followed immediately by...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
1, 2, 3, get down!
Full drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So stay tuned to Channel Radio for the rest of the evening. We have some fabulous shows coming up, ending with Boy George with the Club Culture show as our late night show. Thank you for listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jackie Brooker, and all of our superb guests on this week's Business Bunker show. We will be back with you next week. Have a fabulous week, and we will see you all soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.